Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am so thrilled today because with me I have Bonnie Lawrence. Rabbi Bonnie Lawrence is known as the Leadership Mastery Speaker. She is an attorney, executive leadership coach, and the founder and CEO of the Leadership Mastery Institute, Inc., where leaders are made, not born. Rabbi Bonnie is passionate about developing leaders from an inner perspective in her forthcoming book, Courageous Leadership for Healing, Health, and Wholeness. We must be willing to let go of life. We have planned to have a life that is waiting for us, by Joseph Campbell. She shares her own spiritual healing journey and explains how archetypes, past lives, and family patterns have influenced us in having the life we now have. She also explains that understanding these in your own life is only the beginning to enjoy a life of fulfillment and greatness beyond your wildest dreams. Your gift from your Creator is more than your life. It is the gift of you. She earned her BA degree in economics from UCLA, her Juris Doctorate from Whittier College School of Law, and was ordained as a rabbi by Rabbi Stephen Blaine, founder and dean of the Jewish Spiritual Leaders Institute. Welcome, Bonnie. We're so thrilled to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about how you came to the passion and purpose in your life. You're doing so many fabulous things.
Well, my love for archetypes and the study of the works of Carl Jung, who is basically the founder of the archetypes as presented to the world, began when I was an undergraduate at UCLA. Undergraduates do interesting things to get really good grades in very easy classes, and I was certainly part of that process. And one of the classes that was well known to be what we would then call a Mick, as in Mickey Mouse, you could get an easy grade, an easy A, was called Theater Arts 5C, where we sat and watched movies. You know, that was one of my most favorite courses, I must admit. And as part, of that class, the professor analyzed movies from the perspective of Jungian archetypal energies. This was a whole new world to me that opened up for me. And I did my paper, which I have to this day and is now in my left hand as we speak. I did the analysis of Ingmar Bergman's movie, The Hour of the Wolf, all from the perspective of Jungian psychology. And the comment I got back was that this was a highly perceptive and comprehensive paper. So that was my first introduction to Carl Jung and archetypes, but I didn't do anything with that. I went and pursued other careers. First I was doing accounting, then I became an attorney, you know, and then life happens. And starting about 10, 11 years ago, my mother at the time was in her 90s and began her dying process. And I was a mess emotionally. I was angry. I was upset. I was just not a fun person. I was totally miserable. And then I was guided to work with a metaphysical counselor, and we started looking at my behavioral patterns and understanding. I reconnected through that process with Source, with Source energy. Some people call it God. Some people call it the Creator. Some people have different names for this, and that's fine. It's however each person relates. And as I got more and more connected, not only with the external source energy, I got more connected with my internal energies, and the journey continued. And I worked with this person for quite a number of years, and then I realized there is a much broader, bigger picture to what's going on in my life. And I started searching. I started working with and studying conscious language choices, which is based upon the work of Marshall Rosenberg and nonviolent communication. He has nonviolent communications trademarks, so I don't use that language, but it is conscious language and understanding our needs and our feelings. And then I started looking at some other things, family patternings. My grandfather, my father's father, came from Poland, and during the pogroms, and for those of you who don't know what a pogrom may be, it is a governmental-sponsored hate action, hate crimes against specifically targeted groups of people. In Poland, over 100 years ago, the pogroms were targeted at the Jews. And as part of that, my grandfather had to take a few lives in order to save lives, to protect people. As we now understand today, self-defense, protection of others is just that. It's not murdering, which is against one of the Ten Commandments. To mask his pain and guilt and shame of what happened, my grandfather became an alcoholic. And as we know, alcoholics are not available emotionally. They are controlling and manipulative, and they can't make a living well for their families. They're not good providers. Even the so-called functional alcoholics, I'm not buying that they're functional. They're still alcoholics. And how this rippled down into my family is that my father compensated by working many long hours and providing for us, and I'm grateful that he did. But as a female, I wanted to spend more time with my father. And the father's job really is to not just be a provider, but to help people learn how to relate with other people in the world. And I didn't have that benefit growing up. And so rather than being able to grow emotionally in a healthy way, I, at the time, was projecting my emotional needs onto other people. Well, one of my biggest lessons was I am responsible for myself, and always I am responsible for my own emotional health. And once I understood that, my life has changed, fortunately. And so I kept searching, and I kept being guided from above to keep working and doing more work on myself. And one of the things I now do, I am a certified master practitioner for repetitive behavior cellular regression. This is fancy language for saying we have all these patterns, perhaps inherited, that we learn from our families and other people, but these patterns are running our lives. These events that we have experienced are so painful that we have suppressed them and we don't remember them consciously, and yet they're running our lives. And what we do in the cellular regression sessions is we help people calm down, get very quiet, and ask their spirit for memories. And the spirit knows, the spirit remembers, and we help people release these memories. So we do a lot of work with PTSD people and sexual trauma people and people who have other issues, but they're not really sure what's going on with them. So this is part of my journey. And as part of this, I know that my journey is to continue to be on my own spiritual healing journey. And it is also my purpose to go, be a guide for others on theirs if they so want the guide.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And what beautiful intention you have with that, within the contribution that you're making. Really, really beautiful. What are some of the problems that you see people come up with that really want to make some life changes and you help them through that? What are some of the challenges, or perhaps some of the challenges in addition to what you've already told us that you've found yourself?
Well, people don't really understand the emotional processes. We live in a world, we live in a society in which if somebody's depressed, it's like, here, take a pill, take a drug, go to the doctor, get a Xanax, get a Valium. You know, the truth is that there is a normal emotional cycle that goes with life. And we see this in movies and in television. Something happens, whatever it may be. First, we go into denial. It didn't happen. then we get really angry when we accept what happened, but we don't really fully accept it. I should say when we realize what happened. Then we can get very depressed. If we don't get that far depressed, we can just become sad, and then we go into a state of acceptance. So the patterning is denial, anger, depression, sadness, acceptance, and then you keep going in life in a new equilibrium. Our society suppresses that very heavily. So that is one thing I work with people on. Certainly people need the support to get through a process, and they need a little extra help like the Xanax or the Valium. I'm not going to say they shouldn't get it, but it should not be used to mask the situation and keep people in a state of depression their whole lives. We as a society need to learn how to process life properly because there's a lot of beauty in it, and people just are not aware of that. Also, as part of the release process, it is very common for the body to shake and to do a lot of crying, and this is perfectly normal. There is sufficient scientific proof that we store energies in our bodies. Specifically, two scientists, one was Ivan Babinski, who was actually a Frenchman of Polish ancestry who was a physiologist, and Ivan Pavlov, who was an MD, a neurologist, did significant research and studies on this. So the release, the shaking, it's fine. Just make sure you're in a safe place when you are processing.
Wow, that's incredible. And you certainly provide a safe place for the people that work with you. Again, it's incredible the work you're doing. So tell me a little bit about what your life looks like from committing yourself to this work. What does this look like and what does this feel like?
It feels very different for me than I could ever have imagined in a significantly better way. Now that I'm on this journey, now that I've gone through some extremely major work on myself and I understand myself well, life inside is calm. It's peaceful. I'm not going to say I don't ever get angry or upset, because I do. I'm human. But the spinning inside myself, the anger, the frustration, it's gone. It's over. I can now approach life from a very calm place inside myself. And I do have things that come up, and I deal with them. And it's very different. It is far, far better than I ever could have imagined.
So beautiful. So with this wonderful work that you're doing, if this were to expand out to the world globally, and I mean, everything we do, I believe, has a ripple effect out into the world. But if it looked almost like a legacy for you, what would that look like?
Well, it would look like people are actually stopping and saying that they are responsible for their emotional well-beings, that they have a series of techniques and systems and tools that they can use to get unstuck from the past and from past patterning, that they are living present and dealing with life in the present, dealing with life in the fullest. As part of this, I am in the process of authoring the book that you just mentioned earlier, and I plan to use that as a platform to go and do speaking engagements and get more products out to help people, to do more coaching and counseling with people.
That's wonderful. And I have to say, to me, a book is one of the most wonderful ways to start to do that, because you can reach people globally, literally, you know, it can have an impact all over the world. We're promoting a book right now that has just gone number one bestseller in 12 countries. And the author is impacting lives all over the world with this book. And we do this like once or twice a week where we promote books to bestseller for authors. And it warms my heart to see messages such as yours be able to be delivered everywhere in such a powerful vehicle as a book.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So I was wondering, if someone wanted to come into present time, but they're just not there yet. And I think, you know, some of us slip in and out of being in present time. I know for me, it's not always 100%, though certainly I'm more comfortable when it is. What would be some of your thoughts about someone just getting started in that transition? Do you have a couple of your most powerful tips you could share?
Sure. The first one would be for people to become aware of what they're doing in any given moment. where they are inside themselves emotionally, mentally, psychologically. And I use the word awareness, not consciousness. And I will explain consciousness in a moment here. Awareness, you're aware you're angry and you're upset. You're aware that you probably want to punch somebody, but you don't, etc. So first step is to say, okay, is to just stop, take a deep breath, and go, what's going on here with me? Step two is to understand that you have a choice how you behave and where you live inside yourself. How does it feel to be angry and upset? How does it feel to be present and calm? Which do you want to choose? Which do you want to live in inside yourself? So awareness, being understanding of the choices you have to make. Consciousness is a choice. You consciously choose to be present. You consciously choose to say, okay, I'm upset and angry at this person or this situation. Why am I angry and upset? What should be done? What can be done to resolve this the way it needs to be resolved for the benefit of all, not just for the person, not just for you, but for everybody concerned? What's the best way of doing this? We live in a world of what I'm going to call, it should be interdependence, but all too often it's codependence. So let me explain this. Children are dependent upon their parents for everything. We know this. But then we get to a point of codependency, and that is the emotional side where people look outside themselves for emotional fulfillment. Everybody else has an obligation to fill you up. That's codependency. All too often people marry for that reason, etc. It's not healthy. Healthy is assuming responsibility for your own emotional and psychological well-being. Then when you understand that and take responsibility for this, then you're interdependent. I am interdependent upon other people. I do not grow my own vegetables. I don't go out to the oil well field and get crude oil and then process it. I buy gasoline. It's already done for me. So that's what I mean by interdependence. And being a healthy interdependent person is the objective in life, because then you can be calm. You don't have to be angry at somebody because they didn't do something for you. Well, whose responsibility is it to do whatever it is for you? It's your responsibility to get it done.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So do you have any parting thoughts for us, Bonnie, or any advice?
Advice is that the journey is available for everyone, and for you, my listeners, should you choose to do it. I am here as a guide for people. I am non-judgmental. I am a rabbi by profession as well at this point, so that I can share my, I would hope, wisdom at this point and knowledge with others in a way that is safe and secure for everybody, and to know that I am here as a guide. I can be contacted at 818-781-7573. My website is theleadershipmasteringinstitute.com, and I can be reached at info or Bonnie at theleadershipmasteringinstitute.com.
Beautiful. Bonnie, thank you so much for spending time with us today and sharing so much wisdom. It was really quite an extraordinary experience. I've really appreciated the time with you, and I'm sure our listeners have too.
My pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.